Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents It's Raining Men by Julie Hammerly, narrated by Amy Deutschler. Chapter 1. Teddy Ruxpin Doctors. Okay, what's wrong? Gale asked after I'd finished listening to her heart and lungs. Well, your chest sounds good, but your blood pressure is higher than I'd like it to be. I wrapped my stethoscope around my neck. I was talking about you, Annie, not me. What's with the weepy eyes? I asked all the patients in my concierge practice to call me Annie. I found it lowered the doctor-patient barrier in our relationship, making them more likely to contact me with potentially serious symptoms. It also, unfortunately, had the side effect of encouraging them to ask me about my personal life. I wiped my eyes with one hand as I made a note on her chart. It's just allergies. I glanced up at my patient, whose furrowed brow illuminated the usually masked wrinkles on her light brown 60-something skin. She wasn't buying a word out of my mouth. All day long at work, my eyes had been welling with tears for no reason, which was completely unprofessional and not at all like me. I'd been telling my patients I had seasonal allergies, but Gale, the Chicago news anchor legend, the badass woman who'd gotten a former mayor to admit live on camera to tax evasion, naturally saw right through me. No, it's not. Spill it. I honestly don't know. It's been happening out of the blue for no reason, I said, chuckling. Maybe it actually is allergies. Or maybe I'm extra sensitive to Tina's new cleanse. My assistant, despite my efforts to insist that she was a healthy young woman who already looked gorgeous, was trying a new fad she'd found on TikTok involving something like onions, garlic, cayenne pepper, saffron, and fish broth. That would make anyone's eyes water. That's not it, my patient narrowed her gaze. Man trouble? Only if you count not having a man as man trouble. I shook my head as I remembered I was in my office and not on my friend's living room couch. Maybe I should rethink my stance on formality and make my patients call me Dr. Kyle. This whole over-familiarity thing was blurring too many lines, even for a consummate professional like me. Your high blood pressure, family health issues? Yes, well, I said, obviously hypertension can be hereditary. I meant your family, Gale said. Is everyone well? Your mom, your brother, your adorable niece and nephew? They're all fine. At a previous appointment, Gale had charmed me into telling her about my family. She'd even watched a video of my niece dancing to that one song from Frozen. I helped Gale lie down on the exam table. Now we have several medical options for hypertension, but equally important, how about your roommate? Gale said as I palpated her abdomen. What was her name? Carrie? Kelly, I corrected her. And she's fine. My face tightened, and I realized I was smiling. Dang it, she'd hit the bullseye. Gale was good. Too good. She's coming home tonight, actually. Where's she been? She moved out to Galena with her parents for a few months to help her dad after knee surgery. I paused. Hey, by the way, did you know Kelly's dad also has high blood pressure? Many people do, Gale said. That will be nice for you to have your roommate back in town. I'm sure you've missed her. The now familiar sensation of my eyes stinging returned. I blinked away the tears as I helped Gale sit up. Annie, sweetie, Gale squeezed my hand. Tell me all about it. I'm listening. I was fighting a losing battle here. Gale, if I tell you about it, will you finally let me say my piece about the dangers of high blood pressure? Gale steepled her hands and nodded seriously. I will. I sat down and rolled my chair closer to the exam table. Okay. Kelly left a few months ago, and as I'm a fairly introverted person, I didn't think it would bother me that much. But I've spent most of the past 12 weeks either working or lying on my couch watching mind-numbing television, eating by myself, doing everything by myself, and honestly, the fact that she's coming home and it means I no longer have to feel this crushing loneliness is a relief. I wiped my eyes again. Hence the tears. And that's it? Gail asked. That's it, I said, smiling at her. As much as I enjoy spending most of my time with you and my other patients, I'm just really looking forward to seeing my friend again. I grabbed a prescription pad. For the hypertension, I want to start you off on... Have you heard of Man on Main Street? I dropped my pen in my lap. I could feel my own blood pressure rising. Of course. Man on Main Street was a recurring segment during the news on her station, WTS-TV. Darius is always looking for new, interesting people to interview around Chicagoland. Would you be interested in talking to him about being a concierge doctor? I'm sorry? I'd lost the conversation thread. We'd been talking about Kelly coming home, and then I was trying to get back on the high blood pressure topic, and now she wanted me to talk to her coworker about... I think it would be great, she said. Whenever I tell people about your practice, they're both confused and intrigued. I think you should let Darius do a segment on you. If I agree to this, will you finally, let me tell you about how your job stress and sodium intake might be affecting your health and how I'd like you to make sure you get regular exercise while also taking a thiazide diuretic? Yes, she said. Even though going on TV was the absolute last thing I'd ever consider, a promise was a promise. And after Kelly came home tonight, I knew everything would be okay again. Life would get back to normal, and the two of us could joke about the utter absurdity of me going on television to talk about my practice. Okay, then, fine. Tell your coworker to call me about an interview. The things I was willing to do for my patients. Chapter 2. Crimpin' Ain't Easy. Alexa, I said in the odd authoritative voice I always used when I spoke to my virtual assistant. Shuffle songs from Phil Collins. No one could tell me I didn't know how to party. As the opening strains of In the Air Tonight pumped through my speakers, I made sure the house was ready for Kelly's homecoming. I placed a vase of daisies, her favorite, on her bedside table. I made sure the entire bottom floor of my converted 3-flat, which had served for the past 5 years as Kelly's apartment, looked clean and tidy. I shoved my recently acquired stationary bike into an empty corner and artfully draped a throw blanket over it, and I arranged the TV remotes in a little basket to look like an inviting bouquet. On the first floor, in the main part of the house, I set out guacamole that I'd purchased at Whole Foods on my way home from work and set 2 bottles of wine, white and red, on the living room coffee table next to 3 glasses and a wine opener. My phone buzzed in the pocket of my pajama pants. Yes, we were going extra casual tonight, as I surveyed my handiwork. Yessie? I said. I'd invited my other BFF from college, Yessie, over tonight to help welcome Kelly back to the city. I hadn't spent much quality time with Yessie in the past few months either. She had a baby about 6 months ago and was now back at work, juggling her child, her marriage, and her career as a high-powered corporate attorney. But tonight, she said she'd be here for Kelly. Annie? Yessie's voice sounded panicked. Olivia has a fever. Oh, no. Yessie often called me with baby-related medical questions, and I was always happy to help. When I could. It had been way too long since I did my peds rotation. How high? 101, she said. Rectally. Since her doctor's office is closed, Polly and I are taking her to the emergency room. Hi, Annie. I heard Polly, Yessie's wife, a veterinarian, say on the other end. Hi, Polly. My brain scanned through all the information I'd retained about infants and fevers. How is Olivia behaving? She's crying a lot. As if on cue, the baby let out a wail in the background on Yessie's end. It's most likely something simple, I said reassuringly. You're doing the right thing taking her in. The doctors will get the fever down and will be able to tell you exactly what's going on. Thanks, Annie, Yessie said. I'm sorry I won't be able to make it tonight. Say hi to Kelly, Polly shouted. My heart sank. Yessie and I kept missing each other these days. Will do, I said as cheerfully as I could muster. We'll get together another time soon. Please keep me updated on Olivia and call if you have any questions. I set the phone down with a sigh and turned off Sue's studio. Worried about Olivia and sad about not getting to see my friend, I was no longer in the mood for Phil. I grabbed one of the three wine glasses on the coffee table and returned it to the dining room hutch. The doorbell rang. If this is a sales call, I muttered to myself as I made my way over to the door. But when I opened it, I found Kelly standing there, eyes down on her phone. She looked up, surprised, as if she hadn't just rung my doorbell. Annie, she said finally, shoving her phone in her pocket and shooting me a dimmed-down version of the 1,000-watt toothy white smile I'd known since the very first day of college. Petite Kelly, with the big, curly blonde hair and sun-kissed bronze face like a California surfer girl, fell into my arms, sobbing. I squeezed her tight, resting my head on the top of hers as her body convulsed against mine. Oh my gosh, Kelly, what's wrong? Is it your dad? She shook her head and mumbled something against my shoulder that I couldn't hear. I pulled away, holding her at arm's length. Say it again? She opened her mouth to speak just as my phone buzzed again in my pajama pants pocket. I held up a finger to stop. Pause, I said. 1 second. Yessie's taking Olivia to the emergency room. I checked the caller ID on my phone. Shoot. I wrinkled up my nose. It's a patient. I have to take this. I answered the call, a former Chicago Bulls player who now did color commentary for one of the radio stations in town. He hurt his knee playing a pickup game with his kids in the driveway. I told him to ice it tonight and call an orthopedic specialist I knew in the morning if it wasn't feeling better. Ugh, I said, shoving my phone back in my pants and heading back into the living room. I know it's silly, but I always feel guilty when I have to send patients to a specialist. It's like, what are they paying me for? Maybe it's time I recognize I'm not superhuman. I paused in the doorway and watched Kelly down almost a full glass of red wine before wiping her mouth with the back of her hand. Kel? She turned toward me, eyes pink and bloodshot. Finally able to get a good look at her, I realized that she was a more muted and monochrome version of her usual self tonight. Kelly normally wore dresses and cute tops in bright, bold colors, reds, pinks, blues, yellows, sometimes all at once. She'd dress up every outfit with chunky jewelry and fun shoes. Tonight, she wore a pair of boring black jeans under a faded pink sweatshirt. A sweatshirt! She hadn't put on a stitch of makeup, and her only hint of bling was a modest gold pendant around her neck. What's going on? I asked. She sat up straight, shoulders back. It's nothing, she said. I guess I miss my mom and dad. I'd spent so much time with them over the past few months. She let out a huge sob, and I dashed to sit next to her on the couch. I took her hand in mine. I get it, I said. I was emotional all day at work today, knowing you were coming home. I've been lonely. I grinned at her. But now we're reunited, and things can finally get back to normal, for both of us. She burst into tears, dropping her head into her hands. Crap. This was completely new and unexpected. Kelly loved her mom and dad, but the three of them had their issues, too. When she left home for college, she left for good. I had a hard time believing they were the real source of this despair. You want to put on a movie or something? I asked. She shook her head, her blonde curls flopping around her shoulders. Play a board game? She scrunched up her nose. I knew what I had to do. I wasn't trying to make my introverted self feel better. I had to think like Kelly, suggest something she might want to do. There's a new bar nearby. Her eyes lit up. Maybe we can put on makeup, get dressed up, and do that? Kelly leaped off the couch and right into my chest, wrapping her arms around my neck.
Yes, Annie. Thank you. I think a night out is just what I need.
I guess I was changing out of my comfy pants. Chapter 3. We didn't start the bonfire of the vanities.
Oh my God!
Kelly grabbed a flyer off the table just inside the bar.
They have trivia on Thursday nights. We should totally go next week. Remember when you, Yessie, and I used to do trivia all the time?
I do, I said, yanking down the hem on the very short hot pink dress I'd agreed to wear because Kelly said it would make her happy to see me in something, quote, not the color of decomposition.
What was our team name again?
She asked. It's a headband. The name was something I'd pulled out of my butt one night, a very random quote from the TV show Felicity that no one ever understood. We were excellent at trivia, but 80s and 90s throwbacks were our specialty.
Why did we stop playing again?
Kelly's now fully lashed up and glitterized eyes narrowed.
Oh, yeah, because you and Yessie are assholes.
That's not exactly fair. Yessie and I both hated losing, and once we may have gotten into a very loud fight because she thought she was right on a question about Queen Victoria when I knew she was wrong, and the bar we used to go to back then may have banned us from trivia for life. If that made us assholes, well, yeah, I suppose that made us assholes. I glanced around the bar and suddenly longed for my usual going-out uniform of jeans, Converse All-Stars, and whatever clean ancient concert tee I could find in my drawer. Everyone in the pub was dressed down except Kelly and me. We looked like Romeo and Michelle on the way to their high school reunion. But I was here to make my friend feel better, and my dressing like a birthday clown was apparently working for her. Her mood had already perked up dramatically. As Kelly stopped to chat up some guy who'd quickly caught her eye, I wobbled toward the bar in a set of platform heels I'd bought back in the early aughts for a Halloween costume. I set the lavender beaded clutch my sister-in-law made me carry in her wedding on the counter and hopped, not gracefully, onto a stool. The bartender, a tall guy in his 20s with dark hair, tattoos, and a 5 o'clock shadow darkening his tanned complexion, set a coaster in front of me. His ice-blue eyes gave my outfit the once-over, and I caught a hint of amusement on his lips. I waved a hand down my Barbie-clothed body. Drink it in. The smirk disappeared.
Oh, I wasn't...
Sure you were. I glanced over at Kelly, who was now leaning over to talk to a different random guy, her cleavage on full display. This wasn't like her. She was fun and bubbly and friendly, but never this friendly. Never shove my boobs in a 20-something stranger's face friendly. I'll have an old-fashioned, I told the bartender, keeping my eyes on my friend. Something was going on with Kelly, something more than her simply missing her parents. When the bartender set my drink in front of me, I grabbed it and my purse and went over to where Kelly was now whispering sweet nothings into the ear of someone who had probably been eating paste in kindergarten back when we were in college. Kel, I said, smiling. Want to move over to the bar with me? We can catch up there. She stood up straight, and though she'd been laughing with the young dude, her eyes lacked any joy. Come on. I wrapped an arm around her shoulders. Let's chat. At the bar, I ordered her a glass of sparkling rosé. The bartender, who'd apparently learned his lesson about appraising his customers' outfits, barely even glanced at Kelly's purple, pink, and teal pants and lavender eyeshadow.
Okay.
I squeezed my friend's hand. Please tell me what's going on with you. I know it has to be more than you just missing your mom and dad.
It is, she said. It's...
A loud crash and the sound of glass shattering cut her off, and my head snapped toward the bar. Our bartender, the guy with the eyes, was leaning over, gripping his leg. Blood trickled toward his ankle, and shards of the broken bottle surrounded his feet in a puddle of fizzy pink wine. I leaned over the bar.
Are you okay?
I shouted. He looked over at me.
I'm bleeding.
I see that. I glanced at Kelly, looking for permission. Go, she said, waving her hand. Be the superhero. We'll talk later. No. I grabbed my purse and headed toward the injured patient. Come with me. We'll talk while I clean him up. The bartender's eyes widened in shock and concern.
What?
I'm a doctor. I motioned to one of the waiters working the tables. Can someone clean this up, please? The bartender tilted his head in disbelief as his eyes scanned my ensemble. She is a doctor, Kelly said, glancing at her phone. And a damn expensive one, too. Consider yourself lucky. Where's the manager's office? I asked, glancing around.
That way.
The bartender nodded toward a closed door in the hallway off to the right of the bar. Kelly and I each wrapped one of the bartender's arms around our shoulders, which had to look pretty laughable, because he had a good 5 inches on me and way more than that on Kelly, and walked him toward the office. People called out, offering to help, but I waved them off. I didn't need their assistance. Asking to help me with a little cut was like volunteering to help LeBron James with his dribbling. What's your name, by the way? I asked. I should probably know it if I'm going to do surgery on you.
Surgery? He said.
She's exaggerating, Kelly said.
Dax, the bartender said.
Nice to meet you, Dax, I said as I opened the office door. I'm Annie. And you might as well know that I'm Kelly, since we're bonded for life by blood now. I felt Dax shudder under my arm. I calmly patted his hand. It's okay. You're going to be fine. It's just a little cut. I was very used to big, strong men getting squeamish around blood, needles, or knives. One of my patients, a Cubs third baseman, once fainted in my office when I had to lance a boil on his foot. Kelly and I eased Dax into the desk chair. Then I ducked into the private bathroom and washed my hands. There was a first aid kit on the shelf above the sink. I snapped on a pair of latex gloves from the first aid kit and stepped out of the bathroom. I'm going to take good care of you, Dax, but I can multitask. I want to hear what my friend was about to say right before you smashed a bottle into your leg.
I didn't smash a bottle into my leg.
I ignored him. Kelly? She snuck a peek at Dax. You really want to talk about this now? Of course. I sanitized a pair of tweezers with alcohol and knelt on the floor to see the wound better. This should be no problem. I'd slipped into full doctor mode. The glass is right at the surface. I glanced up at my friend. Go ahead, Kel. She folded her arms across her chest. I patted Dax's knee. You're doing great. Dax drew in an audible breath and held it. I slowly extracted the sliver of glass and dropped it into the garbage can next to the desk. Hard part's done.
Great. So I can get back to work now?
Dax moved to stand, but I pushed him down, resting my hand for a hot moment on his ample pectoral. Butterflies invaded my stomach, but I tamped them down. I was a professional, and this guy was way too young for me to even think about behaving unprofessionally with. You're almost done, I said, and he grunted in annoyance. Just need to clean out the wound and bandage it. Seriously, Kelly, talk. No. I looked over at her. She still had her arms folded in annoyance, and she kept tapping her foot like she was urging me to hurry up. Kelly didn't normally get pissed at me. Not like Yessie did. The two of us were so alike, we often butted heads. But Kelly was supposed to be the easygoing member of our trio. I dabbed some antibiotic ointment on Dax's leg. Did I do something, Kel? No, she said. Of course you didn't do anything. I'm going to head home. I'm not in a bar mood anymore. Before I could stop her, she rushed out of the office.
You definitely did something.
I glanced up at my patient. A scar bisected one of his eyebrows, and I wondered for a moment what happened there. Thanks. Yeah, I know.
You know what it is?
Not a clue. I carefully placed a bandage on Dax's ankle. She just got home. We're roommates. She lives in my basement. And I was so excited to have her around again because I've been so lonely while she was gone. But now she won't even talk to me, and I'm not even sure what I did. I paused.
Am I good here?
Dax asked after a beat. He actually didn't care about any of this. Not that I could blame him. I patted his ankle and stood. All better. He slowly rose from the chair, and his blue eyes met mine, knocking the breath right out of me. God, he was pretty. If I were 10 years younger... Heck, who was I kidding? If I were 10 years younger, I still wouldn't have the guts to go for a guy with that many tattoos. He'd probably think I was a huge dork. But then again, was I just imagining it, or was he looking at me like he wanted me for a snack? I tucked some hair behind my ear. I think he might kiss me. I subtly licked my lips.
Thank you, ma'am, he said. Thud.
That sound was my ego crashing to the ground. I was in a bar, made up and dressed to the nines, or, well, maybe like the 6.5s, with my Julia Roberts and Pretty Woman legs on full display, and this 20-something bartender called me ma'am. Cool. You're very welcome, sir, I said as he limped toward the door. With his hand on the knob, he turned around and said,
You know, maybe your friend isn't responsible for your loneliness.
Okay, pal, I said sarcastically. Who said something like that to a stranger? Thanks for the tip. He left the room, and I finished cleaning up and putting the first aid kit away. How dare this young guy give me life advice? He didn't know me. And besides, Kelly and I were fine. She was simply having a hard time tonight readjusting to her old life. Tomorrow was another day, and we'd be back on track. Chapter 4. Women of Questionable Morals. Thank you so much for coming with me, I told Kelly as we got out of my car and headed up my mother's front walk. No problem, she said. You know I love your mom. Kelly grinned like the Cheshire Cat. The midday sun glinted off her sparkling eyes. And she loves me. Too freaking true. My mom did love Kelly, who was bubbly and sweet and not quite as uptight as her firstborn child. My mom loved Kelly so much, she'd even tried hard to set her up with my brother when we were all in our 20s. Thank goodness it didn't work out. I wouldn't have been able to live with the image of the two of them together seared upon my brain. After all the drama at the bar last night, things had mellowed today to a strained family Thanksgiving dinner comfort level. Like we'd all tacitly agreed we weren't going to mention Uncle John's conspiracy theories while we politely passed the mashed potatoes and discussed the weather. When I came downstairs this morning, I found Kelly humming while making coffee in the kitchen. When she cheerfully handed me a mug, I decided I wasn't going to question it. Carrying a bag from Tony's Deli and an iced coffee from Dunkin' for me, I yanked open the front door of the house where I grew up. Mom, we're here. No answer. This was my normal Saturday routine. Wake up, check messages for work, or sometimes put in a few hours at the office, and then head over to my mom's house for lunch. I knew she was expecting me. She was always expecting me. Kelly and I walked toward the back of the house. Mom? I called again. Were we at the point where I needed to get her one of those buttons to wear around her neck in case she fell? Mom! Annie! The voice came from outside. We're in the backyard! Phew, no life alert today. I set the lunch bag on the kitchen counter, and Kelly and I headed out back. My mom, in her early 70s with close-cropped gray hair and not a stitch of makeup on her lined, olive-toned skin that matched mine, sat on the patio with another woman about her age, a woman who'd grown small and frail since I'd last seen her. Kelly, my dear! My mom, ignoring me, popped up from her seat and wrapped my friend in a gigantic hug. So good to see you, Mrs. Kyle, Kelly said, winking at me over my mom's shoulder. I beamed at her. That teasing smile had been the most normal moment between us since she got home. My mom finally let Kelly go. How are your parents? They're fine. I turned my attention to my mother's guest, letting my mom and Kelly continue their little chit-chat. Mrs. Casey, I said, doing a quick assessment. She'd lost quite a bit of weight, and her pale skin had taken on a translucent, papery quality. Nice to see you.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?